Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 333 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always, John back here, see?
Hello.
How's things, mate?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, all good. You know, it's like, sometimes everything's busy and you're a bit knackered, but overall, can't really complain. And normally, when Leeds have 2 weeks between a game because of international break, we're really champing up the bit to get back into it. Because international football is a bit dull and stuff. Not this international break. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's very stress-free. It's quite nice.
I mean, stress-free from an England point of view. I was quite stressed out watching Scotland, to be honest.
Ah, it's fine. Scott McTominay's got a tap-in or whatever. It's all ground.
Yeah. Scott McTominay is on the list with Danny Welbeck of players I immediately liked once they left Man United.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they were two nice stories, in as much as obviously Ireland with their late comeback with Eredivisie star striker Troy Parrott's hat-trick,
who was of course immediately linked to Leeds. Not a great move for him in this scenario. And West Ham, where strikers go to die,
especially from Holland.
Yeah.
And then the next day, Scotland had their own bit of magic for them as well, obviously, to I think the two stories from those being, Ireland, who after the first couple of games, you just assumed that was them done.
Well, they had
dreadful.
After three games of qualifying, they had 1 point, having lost to Armenia.
Yeah.
They were dead. Awful.
So to get into this position is a fantastic achievement for them. And then Scotland getting to their first World Cup since 1998.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I have some Scottish in me, but even without that, I always want, and I'll phrase this carefully, the home nations and Ireland as well to do well.
A united Ireland?
Under British rule. I believe that. That is not true. I don't actually think that. But you want as many there as possible. It's just better for, I mean, it's not necessarily better for the tournament for everyone, but if you're from, it makes it better for you. Gives me more games that I care about, more to watch at the tournament. And I will watch probably all of them anyway. But it was really good to see. The Scotland result was outstanding. To be honest, like, if you take away me just wanting to win, Scotland were bloody awful for 75 minutes. McTominay scores that over a kick after 3 minutes. They don't have another shot until about the 79th minute. Scotland were awful, but you can always rely on Rasmus Christensen getting sent off, which really tipped the turn. And to be honest, it wasn't even a foul, that second yellow. It was, you'll never believe this actually, and it'll help us talk. If I didn't have more things to say about the international break, I'd use it as a segue. But it was John McGinn being a bit of a diving snide bastard.
No, not John McGinn.
Yeah, great player, bit of a dick. But on this occasion, I was really happy with him for doing it.
It was your dick on this occasion.
Yeah, my dick is John McGinn. Quote Jack Robshaw, 2025. The other, I think, best stories were CONCACAF, where it's all just gone insane with USA, Mexico and Canada already being in. Their qualifying's been ace.
Yeah, all of a sudden, like you say, it's Haiti being there, fantastic. Curaçao being... They replaced Iceland as now the smallest nation to qualify. Yeah.
They are the smallest nation to ever qualify. I think it was 144,000. But the thing I didn't realise, and I only heard this because it got mentioned on a video that the YouTuber Zealand did, if anyone knows who it is, if everyone was going, yeah, but it's just the diaspora. None of them were born there. And in this squad, that was true, because Tahith Chong was injured, and he's actually born in Curaçao.
Is this the Ghana approach to, hey, England aren't playing you?
Yeah,
get in our squad.
It's sensible. It's what you should do. But the thing with the Curaçao thing is, if you add all the Curaçao diaspora in Holland to the population of Curaçao, it's still fewer people than Iceland.
Yeah.
So, like, it's so even though, you know, you don't do that from the start, it's still Curaçao.
The other link in qualifying as well is that, well, we've qualified for the World Cup.
Yeah. Because Panama won fairly easy on the last day and didn't. They were the same group as Suriname, weren't they?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and Suriname got beat 3-1 by Honduras. If Suriname had won, they'd have gone through instead. But 3-0 had them going out, and they got an own goal in like the last minute to nick a playoff spot on goals scored. Which, I mean, because I want Suriname to get there as well, just because all the ones that have never been before, I'd like to get there. Even though Curaçao is the one that, like, because Haiti have been there before. I think Haiti played in it once in like the
70s, yeah.
But given, I don't know if you've ever read into it, but everything going on in Haiti at the minute, and you know, they've basically not got a functioning government and everything has just completely fallen to bits. Like they have to play their home games in the Dominican Republic. They, for their away games, half the squad can't go because they can't get visas to go anywhere. Apparently, America are going to lift that for specifically the tournament. Probably won't be allowed any of the fans to go, but this is better than nothing. Them qualifying is probably the actual most incredible story of all of it. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, it's yeah. Like I say, I mean, obviously with Haiti, like you say, there's a lot going on at the moment. They've also, I mean, this is probably going back about 10, 15 years now, is when obviously they were ravaged by hurricanes as well, weren't they?
Yeah, there was a massive earthquake, wasn't there, as well? But
and Wyclef Jean got himself involved. I'm trying to remember to any level of success.
Given what's happening now, I'm going to assume no.
Yeah.
Even if he ended up winning, it wasn't to any level of success.
Yeah. And internationally speaking, there were no other former managers of our club who were managing during this international break, and we don't need to discuss how the USA got on in their friendly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it isn't going to be this, but Marcelo Bielsa is having an emergency press conference. So everyone was worried he was going to that he was going to quit, and all the Leeds fans were going, yay.
Yeah. Lads, get a comfortable chair and a notepad out. This will be fun.
Yeah, you'll learn some stuff. But no, the international break was great and probably way more interesting than what's going to happen back in domestic football. You do have to put up with 18 months of it not being all that interesting to get that last day. But like, I ended up, you know, sat watching the extra time, sat watching live a penalty shootout between DR Congo and Nigeria to see who can get to the intercontinental playoff and stuff like that. It's only really the last round of World Cup qualifying that can do that.
Well, I mean, because I think you've got, when I looked at the CONCACAF qualifying, there are some teams who are currently in the position of they might be in a playoff.
Oh, it is now done. Basically, they've got into three groups at this point. The top of each group goes through, and the best 2 second place out of three go into the intercontinental playoff. So, and that is Suriname with that goal and Jamaica.
I'm going to assume that goal was scored by Clyde Vinehart.
Yeah, it must have been. What's the intercontinental playoff then? It's Suriname, Jamaica, New Caledonia, DR Congo.
It really takes a turn there, doesn't it?
Yeah. DR Congo, Iraq, and there's someone else that I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm just...
Yeah.
I'm just having a look at the... Because when you look at the qualifying for the Oceanic nations, there's New Zealand, right?
Yeah, I mean, New Zealand walked it, but like, New Caledonia did stay 0-0 with them until about the 60th minute when they played. Now, they're not going to win, but it means that they're probably a little bit better than we think they are. Not by much, but a bit.
Yeah, I mean, as I look at the nations here, I do often forget that Tahiti have a football team.
Yeah, well, I always remember from that time they were in the Confederations Cup. Like, that's a bit... Bolivia. That's who the other team is.
There we go.
Because they beat Brazil 1-0 in the final game of South American qualifying to nick the playoff spot off of Venezuela.
Yeah.
Because it was played in La Paz, and obviously whenever Bolivia play at home, because it's at about, I don't know the exact number, so I'm going to say about 87,000 feet up in the air. they tend to do well at home.
I think it's about 4,500.
But yeah.
Yeah. They also play with oxygen tanks on.
Huh? Yeah. It's actually in space, is La Paz. It's amazing.
You actually go for a dive and you actually just take off.
Yeah.
They
have to make the pitch 500 yards long to compensate. Yeah.
I really don't want to talk about this field again.
No. Well, that's the easy. Like, they play at that sort of height and it makes them have such a strong home record. But they started with two away games and they lost them both quite badly. And speaking of really poor starts to the season, Aston Villa had an awful start to the season. What was it? They didn't score in the first four. And they had like 1 point after five games.
Yeah, they were not a fun team. So just looking here, 0-0 against Newcastle, 1-0 defeat to Brentford, 3-0 defeat to Palace, 0-0 with Everton, 1-1 with Sunderland. So at that point, you were kind of there going, they might be a bad team.
Yeah, there were people going, oh, maybe Villa could be the random one that gets sucked in this year. But you looked at the squad and thought, nah, it's a good squad and Emery's a good manager. And anyway, they've won five of the last six in the league.
Yeah, and you kind of look at the squad and you go, what, you know what it was that they were missing this whole time? Turns out Emi Buendia was the linchpin.
Yeah, well, Farker, he was right. He just couldn't do all about it. Yeah, they lost 2-0 at Liverpool, but they've won five of the other five games in the last six. And most impressively, like, they battered Bournemouth 4-0 last time out. Bournemouth are a good side, and that is a real warning shot of a result. I know Bournemouth won't have been at the best that day, but to beat them 4-0, you have to be doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, I know with Villa, especially kind of midway through last season, the Ollie Watkins was getting the Olivier Giroud treatment of, look, we clearly want to go in a different direction with this.
Mm.
But damn it, no one else is scoring, so get in my starting lineup and score me a goal.
Yeah, I mean, they've obviously still got that in their head to an extent, but it's sort of weird. Now, we're going to move on from Ollie Watkins, but we're going to sell the guy who is...
You're going to sell the young lad who's scoring goals here.
Yeah, because Duran went to Saudi for like 70-odd million, didn't he? But they thought about it again in the summer because they signed Evan Gesan for 30 million. And weirdly, he isn't really kicked on and they're mostly playing him off the right. But it will probably be Watkins because he played well against Bournemouth. But Danielle Marlon is the one that, if someone's going to usurp him, that looks like it currently will be the man to get the shirt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking, one, that starting lineup, I know it's one of those that hasn't changed a lot over the last couple of years, but I think each year they seem to make one or two good additions to it.
Yeah.
I think obviously last year, the kind of the big one for them was getting Onana into that midfield.
Yeah.
Who is literally and figuratively massive for them.
Yeah.
As we joked earlier, Emi Buendia is like a new signing at this stage.
Yeah, he is. This is going to be a weird thing that I just leave in the podcast, but Casey, talk for about a minute.
Yeah, okay, so Jack definitely doesn't have someone at the door. But you look at that team and it's a group that's been together for a little while. John McGinn is one who seems to get shuffled around a little bit more these days. But you look at the quality they have on the bench, like Youri Tielemans, who was kind of tipped for Arsenal at that you know, for that period towards the end at Leicester. He's not a regular in that team. You've got Ross Barkley, who comes off the bench, who obviously found himself again at Luton. It's still hit and miss. We never know with Sancho, but a good option to have off the bench. So they've got a decent mix there of kind of experienced players. And then obviously you've got players like Morgan Rodgers in there, who's been sort of coming on over the last couple of years as well.
I really like Rodgers. It's not just like that he's basically good at everything and he's quite two-footed, but his ability to get them up the pitch when they are under pressure is something that really gets him out of jail a lot. And like he'll definitely start. Because like basically I'm assuming their team is going to be the same as against Bournemouth, barring injuries, just because of how good they were. So like Martinez in goal, Cash, Conser, Pau Torres, Digne, Onana and Kamara, which just sounds nice. McGinn, Rodgers, Buendia and Watkins. Yeah, I mean, you were saying, you know, oh, they had one every year. And last year it was Onana. Well, it seems weird that this year it's Buendia.
Yeah.
Who they've had for, what, 4 years?
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's a good, you know, creative spark for them at the moment. I keep forgetting as well that Harvey Elliott went there.
Yeah, he probably won't play because they barely used him. I haven't read into this more, but I was driving a couple of weeks ago, and someone was on a Villa fan was on the radio saying they have to make that permanent if he plays like if he starts 10 games or 15 games. If it's not many, so if Emery's decided he don't fancy him, to avoid paying 40 odd million to sign him, but just to not play him at all.
Which is a shame for Harvey Elliott, because I think he is a good player. But
well, if that's the way it's going to go, hopefully they'd just be sensible and both teams go, right, break it in January.
Here's a fee to cancel the loan.
Yeah,
take him back.
Yeah, the problem is that I think he played for Liverpool in the like Charity Shield or something.
Yeah.
So the problem is that if they do that, I don't think he can go anywhere else for the second half of the season. Because I'd have snapped your hand off for him.
Yeah. He'd fit into our team. A lot of players would fit into our team, to be fair.
Yeah. Their shape isn't all that interesting. It's 4-2-3-1, similar to us. But their wingers are a little bit more fluid. Like in the last game, if they had Buendia and McGinn, those are both really central players. So you need a lot from Cash and Digne, but they both like getting forward. Digne ain't as quick as he used to be, but he's got an unbelievably good cross on him. I just look at that team and just think that is a really solid team, and everyone on the bench is a good player. It's definitely going to be a tough one, and it's a tough one when it's probably our easiest game for a month.
Yeah, it's not unwinnable, you know, given what we saw out of them at the start of the season. But like you say, the form they're in at the moment. I think I said to you before, I did, obviously when we were speaking about Farkett, I'd sort of just like him to just go, you know what, I'm going to play 4-2-3-1. It's what I know, it's what I believe in. If we lose, we lose. But at least I've lost it playing a system I prefer to play. Yeah. I don't think he will. But, you know, it's a tough one. But again, it's not... We could get something feasible. Because the daft thing is, if you got a win out of this, then you lose the next three. You're only a point behind the point per game at that point, which after those three games is not the worst position to be in.
No, and if we got 3 points from the next four, that would be at least two more than I'm expecting.
Yeah.
But we might need more than that, unfortunately. Like, it's...
Yeah, but
it's a bit of trouble.
It gives you I'd just love to see something, even if we lost this, I'd love to just see a performance from us that looked like we had some ideas, and you could come away with a bit of confidence going, all right, this is what we're going to try. And then if you go back to the 4-3-3 for the three games after that, grand, I understand it. I would disagree, but I understand it. But, you know, when you're coming away from two teams who are in and around you and you're not really causing them many problems and creating a whole lot, you've got to show something at some point.
Yeah. Do you think he'll finally go for it a little bit in terms of changes? But obviously, Dan James played like 70 minutes, I think, in both games. Got an assist in the first, got a goal in the second game. So obviously, Wales won. I mean, I did think Wales had beaten North Macedonia. I didn't think they'd beat them 7-1. He should be coming back with plenty of confidence. So hopefully he gets thrown back in on the right.
Brendan Aaronson's in form though, isn't he? I've watched him.
He's had one good game in his last like six, and that's one more than normal.
It's undroppable. like I said, I would love to see us go back to the 4-2-3-1, and whether it's Aaronson or Pirou at 10. And I think he would lean more towards Aaronson.
But he always looks towards Aaronson.
But I would just like to see another body up there. To have a go. If we're losing games anyway, you might as well have a crack.
I mean, to be honest, I'm finding it hard to say, like, oh, I'd do this or I'd do that, because the truth is, I'm so convinced that it's just going to be the same.
Yeah.
It might be a couple of different players, but that everything will just be the same. It's hard to get excited about. I'd say, I really hope James comes back in. If Willie Nonto isn't in the squad, then I don't know what to fucking think. There's been a lot of talk going, oh, do you go back to Darlow? I can't see that. I know that first goal against Forest, he pushed it back out, but I honestly think that there would have been at least as many goals against us with Darlow in goal, if not maybe more. Zoehim, Bogle, Roden for certain. And then you come to, is it Strouk or Beal? Beal hasn't covered himself in glory since he played. Beal, by all accounts, was man of the match in their 1-1 draw with Sweden, where he was playing in the middle of a back three, which, you know, I've said it a million times, I'd quite like Leeds to try, but it's not going to happen. So if it's a two, I would probably play Strouk. And then, obviously, Goodmanson left that.
Yeah. I would probably go back towards Strouk, but that's I'm very much basing that off the three games I've seen him play so far, Beal at centre back.
We haven't seen enough to really make a judgment. And he's definitely a better player than he's shown for us, based on everything from before. I mean, like, he's been playing at a high level for a long time. He just hasn't had the best of starts. I really wouldn't mind seeing that. Midfield, I know that you want it to be 4-2-3-1, but do you think it'll be a flat three?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you then look at, I assume it will be Ampadu, Stack, and I think he'll stick with Longstaff.
I do as well. Now, Tanaka didn't play in the second game for Japan. And it was late Tuesday, and our game's Sunday. So there is enough time, but that's probably not as much of a factor. But yeah, I think it will be Ampadu, Stack, Longstaff. Ampadu didn't play the second Wales game because he got suspended for getting a yellow against Liechtenstein, which wasn't even a foul. It was a good tackle. But yeah, I think he will go with the solid, stodgy midfield again. Which is fine if you get bodies up the pitch and you go a bit longer. Off a Villa fan, say, what do you think about Calvert-Lewin? well, he leads the line really well. And if you get the ball up to him, he'll hold it up, he'll win balls, he can bring other people into play. If we play the way we normally have been, you would struggle to play in a way that makes him less effective than the way we play. Slow build up, not getting the ball up to him. When you do get the ball up to him, there's no one near him because he's not going to jump up and chest every ball down and hold it for 10 seconds. You need someone there for, not even for him flicking it on, just him jumping with a defender and it falling to somebody.
Yeah.
So, like, I think even though Mecha did well, if everyone's fit, I think he will go back to Calvert-Lewin. Even though Mecha, you know, started two games, he scored two goals. Won the penalty, admittedly. I think it'll be Calvert-Lewin and then Okafor and James on the wings is what I really do think he's going to drop Aronson. But I've said that before and been wrong.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't do it now, I don't know when you can. The comments he made about Dan James's form over the summer and then him having injuries and things like that, and obviously Brendan Aronson's fantastic form, and I just looked to when, do you genuinely think there are people in this team who are undroppable?
Yeah, I mean, did you see some of the interviews that he gave through the last week?
No, unfortunately.
He brought out the emotional fan base line again, like he always does. But he's going, oh, after we beat West Ham, everyone thought that we were safe and now everyone thinks we're down. No one fucking thought that. Like, no one thought that. The first thing that I did after that West Ham game when the odds came out was back us to get relegated. It's one of those things that annoys me. Because he's either being stupid or he's lying, and either way, I don't like it.
Yeah, some of the things he comes out with at times, you just listen and you just, I know you can't slate the players publicly, like I know you're not going to.
He does all the time. But it's always someone whose fault it wasn't.
Well, that's Tom Lees, isn't it?
Yeah.
But like you say, there was no telling, and clearly there was no telling me in the second half of last season that Brendan Aronson was highly ineffective the majority of the second half of last season.
Yeah.
Like he compared to the first half, he just fell off a cliff. And the waiting to, then clearly as part of the grudge that he held this whole time of, look, I know Nonto could play there, but you've got to account for Brendan Aronson. You're like, I don't think we do, though. In fact, I think that's hurting us.
Yeah, like if he does play 4-2-3-1, that's how I'd play at 10. I would play Nonto there. I don't think for a second it's going to happen.
No, like I said, I think even in that, he's at best third in line.
I hope that you make a complete shite of it on Sunday. I hope you get beat 25-0 by us.
Yeah. Like you say, if you can't, when your team is playing like this, and if you look at a player and genuinely think, I do not want you as part of this, no matter your ability. It's like I can't help you at that point.
Yeah.
As I said to you before, if any major actual business ran itself this way, they'd all be fucked.
Yeah. Do you think there's any chance that are you thinking it's Aronson, Okafor, Calvert-Lewin?
I'm gonna wish it into truth. I'm gonna say it's Dan James.
Nice. Yeah. The other thing that if we play James, and the same goes for Nonto, I think it helps Bogle in possession a lot if they're the wingers instead of Aronson. So hopefully we can get something like that. When I look at sort of their team, given their form, whether it's Strouk or Beal, I quite fancy Watkins against them. And I mean, even Roden's been good this season, but you'd probably back Watkins against him. The one that scares me is Morgan Rodgers, because that's been our problem area. Like, you know, that pullback into that sort of space in the box.
You mean somewhere where one of three holding midfielders should be?
Yeah, and that, I think he's going to be in those areas. Kamara and Anana both like getting into those areas, Anana especially. And that is a worry for me quite a lot. I do actually weirdly wonder, is it, if he did go 4-2-3-1 and went more attacking, if it'd make those two midfielders, there'd be one fewer to be in each other's way, and it might make them better at defending that space.
It'd almost give them more defined roles.
Yeah.
I mean, I think so. Like, Ethan Ampadu is generally going to sit quite deep anyway.
If he did it, who do you think he'd play alongside Ampadu? Because it would be Ampadu.
I think it'd be Longstaff.
Until you grew up,
what am I talking about? Yeah. Comes in out of the cold.
Current form, you're probably right. You see, the thing is, like, by all, when he was in Germany, apparently Stacks, all of his best games were playing, like, as a DM.
Hmm.
And sometimes as the lone DM. But, like, so we haven't really used him the ways that we've signed him, for what we've signed him from.
Yeah.
But I still don't think he looks 100% fit. I think that rib injury and stuff has really not helped. I did see a graph going around. He's still, like, one of the best dual winners in the entire league, even though he hasn't been as good.
Hmm.
So maybe that could get him in. But it'll definitely be Ampadu. Even though Ampadu, like, obviously, I'm backing him to turn it around, but he has been crap the last three games.
Yeah. Well, if you can't be inspired by a new mural with your face on it, I don't know what would inspire you.
Yeah. Is there anyone in the... When you look at... Because, obviously, Tyrone Mings probably isn't going to play, so we're not going to get our usual round of Tyrone Mings is fucking shit. Which I... And I stand by, I don't join in that song. I said if he kept a clean sheet against Burnley that year we stayed up, I would stop. And he did, and he made an unbelievable, like, world-class block in the last minute to stop Burnley scoring. And I said, I'm never singing that song again, and I've stuck by it.
Hero in these parts, Tyrone Mings.
Because he did one good thing once. He also does appear to be a good block. Hmm. So, but he won't play. So he's not... Because he is crap every time he plays against Leeds. Pau Torres, I think you can get at.
Torres and Konsa are fine Premier League defenders, but I don't think I'd ever go much above that.
I quite like Konsa. I think he's probably a little bit better than that. I really like Konsa. I think he's a good player. And Torres is good as well. I just think if you were going to get at one of them, I think he's one you're more likely to be able to.
Mm.
And Okafor v Matty Cash, even though Matty Cash is a good player, if Okafor's on his game, I think he can have him. And Cash does have a tendency to get caught forward a fair bit. I suppose the thing is, if Leeds are sort of in a position to take advantage of that, or whether we've got 10 men within 30 yards of his own goal the whole time anyway.
Yeah. But no, like you say, there's... I'm going to say now, probably man-to-man, I don't think there's many of our players I wouldn't swap for theirs.
Admittedly. No, I mean,
like,
I mean, obviously, they're, I know Emi Martinez every now and then. Emi Martinez is an overrated goalkeeper, but he is still a brilliant goalkeeper. He just shouldn't have won best goalkeeper in the world. He's still really, really, really good.
And then done that thing that he did with the trophy at the World Cup.
He's better. Based on what we've seen this season, even though Digne has a bit more quality on the ball, I wouldn't swap Digne for Goodmanson.
Like, don't get me wrong, obviously Goodmanson is clearly our best player at the moment.
I think he's a lot more athletic, and I think he's a bit better defensively. Digne on the ball is probably better. Cash for Bogle?
At the moment, yeah.
The last 4 weeks, you would.
Based purely on Premier League, yes.
Yeah.
If you could just take it looking at Boga last season, I'd be like, oh, no, that'd be a close one. But Matty Cash was a Premier League player in that time.
I would probably say Roden and Konsa would be your two.
Yeah, I think I would try to find a way to get Joe Roden into that. And then you get to central midfield.
In central midfield, it's Onana and Kamara, and back and after, and then it's Tielemans. If you want to play a free, it's still
Ross Barkley. He'll get in the team.
Yeah, it's all them up front. Obviously, Watkins
Harvey
is better. Elliott,
he'll get in the team.
Marlon is probably also better. Gesend is probably also better. McGinn, either midfield or further forward. Yeah. Buendia. Do they have an out-and-out actual left winger? If you wanted an actual winger, you might pick Okafor, because I don't think they... But that's only because they don't play like that. Because, Sancho. It's Sancho, but, I mean, he isn't Jadon Sancho anymore, is he? He isn't, like, the guy from 3-4 years ago.
He's not the guy from Germany.
No.
Yeah, like you say, it's not the way they play, is it? They like... The three tens, don't they, essentially? But especially when you've got someone like Matty Cash who will get forward anyway.
Yeah, their squad does look way above ours, doesn't it? When you actually look at it sort of player for player. I am still waiting on one prediction off Benny, who will be working and won't have seen it yet. It's fairly normal, as you would expect. Connie has gone for a 2-1 win, because Connie always goes for a win. Alex, a 2-1 loss. I think the most in tune with Twitter is little Danny, who has us losing 4-0.
I'm laughing. I don't think it's an outlandish bet.
No, and to be honest, I've got us losing 2-0. I'm not confident of. To be honest, I've actually, you know, sometimes we do these and we talk about, oh, ways that we can get them. And by the end of it, I feel a bit better. And I think, oh, no, we can hurt them here. And I've gone the other way this one. I've gone from, oh, we might nick a draw to, I think 11-8 on Villa's enormous.
I mean, like, obviously, as we said, they are in good form. I've not actually checked where they are in the table. They're sixth.
Yeah.
So,
because they've gone.
My God, it's a hell of a run they've been on. Then.
Yeah, I say they got beat by Liverpool, but they've won every other league game. They did. They've been a bit weird in Europe. Like, they got beat by Go Ahead Eagles, didn't they?
Yeah. Who, from what I've heard, by the way, the Go Ahead Eagles fans were absolutely wonderful for that whole thing. Because I think it's their first time in Europe, and they're just really happy to be there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like you say, I would love to see us come out and have a go, but I just don't know if we've got it in us.
Right. What's your score, Casey?
1-0 win, for some reason.
1-0 win.
In spite of everything I have said.
Cool. I have got one more question before we go.
Oh, no.
If Leeds go 2-0 down, does it really turn?
Yes. Yes, I think it does. I'm not saying I won't be one of them, but it's... Yeah, who bears the brunt of it more? Is it Daniel Farker? Is it Brendan Aaronson?
I think if this game goes badly, I think Ellen Ward will really turn on Farker. Because, and whether it's an overreaction or not is up for debate. The problem is, I don't think anyone can see him turning it around at this point, unless he wins this game. If we draw this game, as much as I don't think that's enough given what we've done, it is objectively a good result because they're a lot better than us. But I just think if we put in a poor performance, I think it could get quite poisonous.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there needs to be something that we can hang our hat on from this performance that goes, no, I've seen something in this that makes me think we can do something here.
Yeah, if it was
or that Father is willing to change. Yeah. Just something that shows he's willing to make a change, or that there is an acceptance that this wasn't working. Just something.
Yeah. Right, go, well, just something. Let's hope Leeds can get something. That will do us for episode 333 of the Mighty Whites podcast. We'll, I don't know, early next week, probably, but we'll have to see what happens with work shifts and things like that. But I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey, have a good one.
In a bit.